We light the candle of joy today, remembering the joy that the wise men had when they saw the light of the star and they followed it to Jesus.
Matthew 2, verses 9 through 11a. After the wise men had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him.
The star was used by God as a light to show the wise men where Jesus was. When we follow God's light, we will never be disappointed. His light will always illuminate our path and guide our steps in the right way.
When we follow God's light, it will bring us joy because we will be drawn closer to Jesus.
Would you please pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for your presence that comes when we follow the light of your guidance. We ask that you would always show us the way, and that we would seek you faithfully, so that we might find you and be filled with joy this Christmas, just like the wise men. Amen.
Our souls magnify you, O Lord, and our spirits rejoice in you, our Savior. For you, O Mighty One, have been mindful of our humble state and have done great things for us. Holy is your name. Your mercy extends to those who fear you from generation to generation. You have performed mighty deeds with your arm. You have brought down rulers from their thrones and have lifted up the humble. You have filled the hungry with good things. We give you praise this Christmas Sunday because you have come to your people to redeem them. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Dear Jesus, we pause this morning to receive you as King. Let every heart prepare room for you. Forgive us, dear God, for filling our hearts with things that don't matter. Forgive us for making Christmas more about events and tasks and responsibilities and traditions and obligations when it should really be about giving glory to the newborn King. As you left your throne and your kingly crown when you came to earth for us, help us, Lord Jesus, to make room in our hearts for you this Christmas. We are mindful that amongst all the celebrations of Christmas, that this time of year is difficult for some. For some, the season is stressful. For others, the time is lonely. For others, there is pain in the memories. Dear Jesus, you came to give us peace. You came to bring us salvation. You came to show us the reality of your abundant love. Let your peace replace the stress. Let your love replace our loneliness. Let us save us from the pain of the past and restore us in ways that only you can do. For our church, Lord, we thank you for bringing Steve Norman to us. Grant him wisdom as he leads the youth program and provides guidance to many who are going through the critical stages in life. We pray for Pastor Kim during her upcoming sabbatical. As she has labored so faithfully for so many years, we pray that you would give her an effective time of rest and rejuvenation. We praise you for the many ways you have blessed her ministry here at West Valley. For indeed, it is because of your work through her ministry that many of us are here this morning, coming to adore you, joyful, triumphant, recognizing you as Christ the Lord. And it is in your name we pray. Amen.
Hear the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 16. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger.
Thank you, Todd. If you know me, you know that I love Christmas. I'm kind of a Christmas junkie. I love decorations. I love this tree. I was sitting there looking at this tree. Isn't it a pretty tree? I mean, just look at the tree. The lights and the carols and the music and just the joy. I love Christmas. I've heard a lot of, you know, sermons on consumerism, but I still overdo it a little bit on the present thing. You know, I'm sorry. I love to celebrate Christmas. I think that Christmas deserves to be celebrated. And I want, you know, I have been tempted to buy one of those plastic trees, you know, the ones that come fully decorated and you push a button and then bling, it just opens up and it's ready to go. I've been tempted because, you know, actually Christmas trees are pagan symbols and they were incorporated into the Christian tradition and I don't have a whole lot of time, and so I don't have a lot of time to, you know, put ornaments, but I haven't been able to do it because I love the smell of pine. I love actually taking time I don't have to unwrap ornaments and remembering all the memories associated with it. I love the feel and the look of a real tree, the smell of a real tree. So even though theologically it doesn't make sense that we spend money on a tree every year, I do it. And even though I'm tempted to buy one of those plastic trees that are all really decorated, I get a new one every year. Unfortunately, I love cookies, too, and the sugar cookies. And I like sitting around telling stories by an open fire that we can't have anymore because of air quality control. But I like the nostalgia of thinking about chestnuts roasting on an open fire, even though I have no idea how to do that or what that looks like or anything. I just love that. But what I love most about Christmas, and this is the crux of what I want you to remember this morning, is that the Christian message of Christmas is not something we as human beings could have ever thought up on our own, which makes it so real and such good news. And I want you to understand that this morning. Christmas really is an occasion to celebrate. Let me explain what I mean. C.S. Lewis said that one of the reasons that he believed Christianity is that it is not the sort of thing anyone would have made up on their own. Like I just said, he wrote, "One of the reasons I believe Christianity is that it is a religion that you could not have guessed. If it offered us just the kind of universe we had always expected, I should feel we were making it up. But in fact, it is not the sort of thing anyone would have made up. It has just that queer twist about it that real things have." So let's look at the Christmas story then and see how it has that queer twist about it that real things have. Rather than coming to earth as powerful Messiah God, slamming us to the ground, making us shape up, that's what we would have come up with, I think, if we had made a religion up on our own or some variation of that. trying to build ourselves up with good works and better laws that God gives us to keep us all in check. We might have come up with that too if we had been making it up. At Christmas, God comes to us in an entirely different way. God comes to us at Christmas by making himself over into our image in a way that is almost impossible for us to reject. God at Christmas in tiny baby Jesus makes himself vulnerable, small, weak, unassuming, so that we will be more likely to receive him, choose freely and joyfully for him. And that's this twist. That's the twist that makes this whole event so real. How many of you have young children somewhere in your life? Put your hands in the air. How many of you? Somewhere. Okay, many of you do. How many of you have ever been standing in line at a grocery store and there's a child in the line ahead of you, perhaps looking out from a little seat in a cart or looking over somebody's shoulder, and they smile at you? How many of you ever had that experience? Okay, all of you have had that experience. Who doesn't smile back, I wonder? How hard is it for most of us to not respond to that? Now, there may be a few that keep their grim expressions plastered on their face as they look at their cauliflower. All right, there may be a few, but very few. How can you stay somber when the face of the baby in front of you in line expands into a delighted grin just by looking at your face? Now, granted, they may be laughing at your face. We're not sure. But still, how can you not respond? Smile back. We have a hard time, most of us, not responding. And God did this amazing thing in Jesus before the first Christmas. I can just imagine God thinking, how can I come to them in a way that they will receive me, in a way that will draw them to me almost irresistibly, in a way where they're not going to be afraid, in a way where I can love them and they will receive that love without fear. What are the angels' first words to the shepherds? Anyone? Don't be afraid. Exactly. Be not afraid. It's our fear of God that separates us from him. It's our fear that keeps us from experiencing the joy of his presence. It's our fear based on our own sense of unworthiness that robs us of a close, intimate relationship with him. I often tell people that God loves them through their young children. We're not afraid of children. That's why God loves us so often through them. If you raised your hand before, if you have young kids in your life, pay attention to how your children love you. They love you without any strings attached. They love you easily. They forgive you easily. They are full of joy, spontaneity, and grace. They are innocent of evil and therefore very easy to love back. We don't distrust children. We know their love is genuine, and we freely receive their love with trust. And on that first Christmas, that's exactly what was going on. God made it easy for us to freely receive him. And it had to be free, of course, right? Love can't be forced. So at Christmas, in Jesus coming as he did, this God of the universe, the God of all creation, the God who authored life and brought human beings into existence with the breath of his mouth, thought of a brilliant way to come to us that would make it easy for us to say yes to him freely and without coercion. That's who God is. That's how relentlessly he pursues us. Becoming that small, that vulnerable, that weak, that was a tremendous risk, and it means that God would suffer our pain. But it was worth it, because that's what love does. That's who God is. Now notice, too, that the shepherds were the first ones to hear about his birth. Shepherds were the lowest of the low on the social status ladder, and they really did smell bad, because they were outside, if you read it, they were outside living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And that means they really stank. All right? You don't have a chance to do laundry too often if you're living in the fields. Shepherds didn't have those little Tide Pods, you know? They don't have fabric softener or even deodorant. Shepherds were well known for their dirt and their grime. Many of you know that I ride horses, so I spend time around the barn about 3 days a week. But 1 hour at the barn, and there's just this, like a grime all over me, you know, that requires a shower every time. And there's just that livestock sort of smear that you get. And you, when you work with animals. Sheep are way dirtier than horses, so you can imagine what those shepherds look like and how they smelled after weeks of literally living in the fields with their sheep. And not only that, the shepherds appeared to those dirty, smelly shepherds, lowest on the social status ladder. These were those on the night shift, so they're down here, all right? Why did God appear to the shepherds first? I think God appeared first to the shepherds because shepherds represent the true state of us all. Because despite how good we think we are and how pretty we all look today, you all look great, by the way. But we need God. Because we too are ragged, worn, and marred by the ways of the world, smelling of our own efforts to work hard, to be good, but all our hard work to make it doesn't add up for God. I think the shepherds were an expression, a symbol of all of humanity's dire, sinful state and desperate need for a Savior. As Brennan Manning said, we're all ragamuffins before a holy God. Now notice how excited the shepherds were after the angels came. Let us go and see this thing that has happened. Come on, can't wait. They were at first afraid when the angels, you know, in all their glory appeared to them, but unafraid and excited to go and see this little baby. There's no coercion in their joyful desire to go and see, and there's no fear. Just good news and an eager response. And in a nutshell, friends, that's the gospel. That's the good news. The ragged, the worn, the smelly, the broken, eagerly running to Jesus. And this was exactly the response God wanted from us. That's why Jesus came the way that he did. For God so loved the world as it was in its smelly, broken, sinful state that he sent his only son in a way that was almost impossible to resist, friends. That's how much God loves us, eagerly seeks after us, almost throws himself towards us in loving, genuine vulnerability, longing for our response. So when you celebrate Christmas, you are celebrating that. You are celebrating that kind of a God. And we could never have made this kind of a God up on our own. Were we sitting in a committee meeting trying to make up a religion, we would have thought that such vulnerability, such weakness was not worthy of God. So I love Christmas. I love the message of Christmas. It has just that queer twist about it that makes it real. That makes it God's story, not our story. I heard recently about a family who was traveling from L.A. to their home here in the Bay Area on Christmas Day. Christmas was on a Sunday, and they had been with their relatives to celebrate already, but they had to get back to work for Monday, and it was a long drive, so they stopped in a restaurant to eat dinner. I think it was one of those wonderful diner places on I-5. The mom who wrote this story describes helping her two children get settled around the table. She had a 1-year-old son whose name was Eric, and a 6-year-old daughter whose name was Sarah. And the restaurant was pretty empty because it was Christmas Day, and they were the only family there with children. All of a sudden, the mom says, I heard 1-year-old Eric squeal with glee. Hi there. He thought hi there was one word. Hi there. He pounded his fat baby hand on the metal high chair tray. His face was alive with excitement, eyes wide, gums bared in a toothless grin. He wiggled and chirped and giggled. Then I saw the source of his merriment. My eyes could not take it in all at once. A tattered rag of a coat, dirty, greasy, and worn, baggy pants at half-mast over a spindly body, toes that poked out of would-be shoes, a shirt that had ring around the collar all over it. The face was like none other. Gums as bare as Eric's, hair uncombed and unwashed, whiskers too short to be called a beard but way beyond a shadow, a nose as varicose as a map of New York. I was too far away to smell him, but I knew he smelled, and his hands were waving in the air, flapping on loose wrists. Hi there, baby. Hi, big boy. I see ya, Buster. My husband and I exchanged a look that was a cross between what do we do and poor devil. Eric continued to laugh and answer, hi, hi there. Every call was echoed. I began to notice waitresses' eyebrows shoot to their foreheads. Several people near us ahemed. Our meal came, but it continued. Now the old man was shouting across the room, do you know patty cake? Attaboy, do you know peekaboo? Hey, look, he knows peekaboo. Nobody thought it was cute. The guy was a drunk and a disturbance. I was embarrassed. Even our six-year-old asked, Mommy, why is that man talking so loud? We ate in silence, except for Eric, who was running through his repertoire for the admiring applause of a Skid Row bum. Finally, I had had enough. I turned the high chair. Eric screamed and swung around to face his old buddy. Now I was really mad. As my husband went to pay the check, he told me to meet him in the parking lot. I trundled Eric out of the high chair and went toward the exit. And I thought, Lord, just let me get out of here before he speaks to me or Eric. But the old man sat waiting, his chair directly between me and the door. As I drew closer to him, I turned my back, walking to sidestep him and any air he might be breathing. As I did so, Eric, with his eyes riveted to his friend, leaned out from my grasp and reached with both arms in a baby's pick-me-up position. In a split second, I came eye to eye with the old man. Would you let me hold your baby? His eyes implored. But there was no need for me to answer as Eric propelled himself from my arms into the man's. Then Eric laid his tiny head upon the man's ragged shoulder. The man's eyes closed, and I saw tears hover beneath his lashes. His aged hands, marked with grime and hard labor, so gently cradled my baby and stroked his back. I stood awestruck. The old man rocked and cradled Eric in his arms for a moment, and then his eyes opened and set squarely on mine. You take care of this baby, he said in a firm, commanding voice. Somehow I managed, I will, from a throat that contained a stone. When he pried Eric from his chest, unwillingly, longingly, it was as though the man was in pain. I held open my arms to receive my baby, and again the gentleman addressed me. God bless you, ma'am. You've given me Christmas. This is indeed the message of Christmas, and in it is that twist that makes it real. Instead of eternal God coming down in fire and judgment, God in Christ jumped from heaven's embrace into our sinful, ragged arms and loved us from the manger to the cross. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for pursuing us. Thank you for loving us that much. May we truly celebrate Christmas. Amen. Thank you, Trevor and Kelly. That was beautiful. So glad. Would you rise for the benediction, please? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God who came as a baby for you, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all and love you this Christmas that you might truly celebrate Him. Amen.